The Speaker of the Nova Scotia House of Assembly grants permission to record the televised proceedings of the legislature for use in schools and for other purposes, such as private study, research, review, or newspaper summary. Television and radio broadcasters may make use of recorded excerpts of the televised proceedings in their news or public affairs programs for the purpose of fair and accurate reports of proceedings. Program material may not be used for political party advertising, election campaigns, or any other politically partisan activity. Program material may not be edited for use in promotional material by any political party or other organization, and may not be used in any edited form that could mislead or misinform an audience or viewer, or which does not present a balanced portrayal of the proceedings in the House. Video program material may only be used with its original audio components, and no other audio material may be added to video material used. Any other commercial use or rebroadcast of these proceedings requires the express written approval of the Speaker.
Order, please. We'll now move on to oral questions put by members to ministers. The Honourable Member for Inverness.
Mr. Speaker, my question is for the Minister of Justice. Over the last 2 weeks, the Minister of Justice has ignored invitations to meet, ignored emails, disregarded reasonable amendments, provided inaccurate information to this House, and repeatedly been unable or unwilling to answer straightforward opposition questions about limitations legislation. Worst of all, she has made survivors of historical sexual abuse feel like victims again because of her tragic mishandling of this vitally important issue. My question, was her mishandling of limitations legislation done on purpose or was it just incompetence?
The Honourable Minister of Justice.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and thank you to the Honourable Member for that very important question that he has asked over and over again the last 2 days. And I feel I've responded to it in English and French, and the next time I'll respond in Arabic as well. I have said on many occasions that I've been honest and I've been upfront, and I brought in a legislation that is a good piece of legislation for all sexual assault victims, for all victims of crime, not crime, but for all victims, and for all litigants who are going through civil procedures, civil processes in court in the province of Nova Scotia. Thank you very much.
The Honourable Member for Inverness.
Not, Mr. Speaker, for all of them. Before introducing Bill 64, the Minister should have been aware of similar legislation across the country. Because she did not do her homework, many victims of historical sexual violence have been made to feel that they matter less than other victims. Instead of doing what was right and fixing her legislation, the Minister blamed her staff. Will the Minister finally take responsibility for letting victims down and resign?
The Honourable Minister of Justice.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and thank you to the Honourable Member for the question. No, I'm not going to resign. It's absurd. I've never heard of any such thing. We have brought a good piece of legislation that protects all victims. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Inverness on his final supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, you know, I don't know. We've talked about it in here at length. We've given the minister four chances. Four times his government has voted against it. Can the minister explain why she will not give the same rights? Can she explain why she is not recognizing that this legislation existed, that she was aware of it? Why?
The Honourable Minister of Justice.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and thank you for his question. We have said that we will look at this information and we will examine it. And if appropriate, we will bring amendments. Thank you.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, my question through you is to the Premier. Mr. Speaker, on page 7 of the 2013 election platform for the Liberal Party, the Premier promised to, and I quote, maintain all current HST exemptions. And I'll table that, Mr. Speaker. But yesterday, during question period, when the Premier was asked if he would keep his commitment in regard to HST rebates, the Premier would not answer. Instead, he chose to take the opportunity to thank members of his party for their help in drafting their platform. So my question for the Premier is this. When it comes to keeping the HST off essentials, like diapers, books, children's clothing, and home energy, why is the Premier refusing to reiterate the same promise he made to voters just 13 months ago?
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. I again want to thank the members of Nova Scotia who have supported us and helped us draft the platform, Mr. Speaker, that we're continuing to move forward on, Mr. Speaker. We'll continue to implement to ensure that we keep all of our commitments to the people of this province.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, according to official sources, which I'll table, the average family of three with a newborn child in Nova Scotia spends about $150 a month on electricity, $72 a month on diapers, and $60 a month on children's clothing. And this means that under the Liberal plan that we saw yesterday, these families could end up paying considerably more a year in taxes, $300 on these household essentials alone. So my question for the Premier, at a time when Nova Scotia is struggling without migration and a stagnating economy, how is increasing costs for young families by $300 a year going to encourage them to remain in our province?
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to thank again the Honourable Member for the question. I want to correct her comments, Mr. Speaker. There was no Liberal plan that she saw yesterday. There was an independent report brought out that all Nova Scotians can look at, Mr. Speaker. Our government will receive it, Mr. Speaker, and move forward. What she can count on, Mr. Speaker, is that we've delivered on our platform. We'll continue to deliver on our commitments to the people of this province, and we'll continue to deliver good government to the people of Nova Scotia.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party on her final supplementary.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And Mr. Speaker, on page 4 of the Liberal platform, the Premier promises his tax review will be guided by, and I quote, the principles of simplicity and fairness. Well, one out of two is not bad, Mr. Speaker. And I'll table that as well. So my question for the Premier, how is giving top earners thousands of dollars in tax breaks while charging young families an additional $300 a year on home essentials, ensuring tax fairness for Nova Scotians?
The Honourable Premier.
Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. I want to again remind her that the report brought forward was an independent analysis done, Mr. Speaker, on behalf of all Nova Scotians. Mr. Speaker, I want to assure the Honourable Member I won't do what the former government did, which was give themselves a tax break.
The Honourable Member for Inverness.
Speaker, my question is for the Premier. In a letter to the Premier just today, the Executive Director of Avalon Sexual Assault Centre outlined her concern that survivors of historical abuse are left out of this government's legislation. She says her participation in the government's initial press conference was based on the understanding that limitations for all victims of sexual assault would be abolished. She says, and I quote, "Inadvertently, this decision causes another layer of secondary wounding for victims and survivors of historical sexual assault and sexual abuse, and continues to create barriers to access justice. It sends a message that those people who have been sexually victimized in the past do not deserve the same options under the law as victims that will come after them." She goes on to say, "If true systemic change is to happen in this province, then any time limitations pertaining to sexual assault abuse, intimate partner violence, and child abuse from this act must be eliminated." My question, advocates for victims of sexual assault were misled by the Minister of Justice's incompetent handling of Bill 64. If she does not resign today, will the Premier remove her?
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The answer is no.
The Honourable Member for Inverness.
And once again, Mr. Speaker, the Premier in this government says no to historical victims of sexual abuse and sexual violence. In an email sent to the Minister of Justice, Lynn Martin, Bob Martin's spouse, expresses her disappointment that the Minister of Justice did not do her homework on limitation legislation. She urges the Minister to rethink her position as Justice Minister and do her research on behalf of all Nova Scotians. Failing that, Mrs. Martin asks the Minister to resign. My question: victims and their families have completely lost faith in this Minister of Justice. If the Premier truly wants to make changes to limitation legislation, he needs someone else to do it. Will the Premier remove the Minister of Justice and restore Mrs. Martin's faith in Nova Scotia's justice system?
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. We have said at the very beginning, Mr. Speaker, the piece of legislation that has been brought before this House is a good piece of legislation. It builds on an act that was already passed, had been law in this province. We have information that's brought before us. We said we would review it, we would analyze it, we would look at it. If the bill needs to be amended going forward, we will do so. And Mr. Speaker, but let me assure all members of this House, I have all the confidence in the Minister of Justice to continue to do her job the way she's been doing it, Mr. Speaker, on behalf of all people in the province.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question through you is to the Premier. Yesterday, the government received findings from the tax review they commissioned earlier this year, and one recommendation is to eliminate rebates for the provincial portion of the HST on family essentials like children's clothing, diapers, and home energy. In 2013, the NDP government passed a law in this chamber that would require a referendum before the provincial proportion of the HST could be added back to these family essentials. So my question, Mr. Speaker, is quite simple. When will the Premier hold a referendum to put the HST back on family essentials?
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. She's right. That is the law in this province, and we have made no decision to put HST back on anything, Mr. Speaker. It's all we're going to receive that report. There's a lot of information in that report. We're going to analyze it. We're going to continue to move forward. But we will respect the law in the province.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party.
Mr. Speaker, in April 2013, the Premier was asked about holding a referendum before putting the HST back on family essentials, and he said, and I quote, he had no idea why any government would choose to protect these items through a referendum. It's irrelevant to me. We're not talking about adding HST to any of these items. He went on to say, it's funny they want Nova Scotians to have a say on issues that no one is talking about. Well, Mr. Speaker, let me tell you, Nova Scotians are talking about this now, Mr. Speaker. So my question for the Premier is this. Will he commit today to keeping the current HST exemptions on home energy and family essentials, or is he prepared to hold a referendum?
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As I said in my previous answer, we have not at all entertained the idea of moving forward with increasing the HST. It's interesting the member is talking about the piece of legislation they brought in on a referendum. It's too bad they didn't hold a referendum when they increased HST by 2%. Yeah. Wait a minute, Mr. Speaker. They did. It was called a general election.
Yeah. Yeah. The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for the Premier. Mr. Speaker, the Liberal tax report proposes a carbon tax for Nova Scotia modelled on the one in British Columbia. But that is completely unfair to the people of Nova Scotia. BC gets over 90% of their electricity from hydroelectricity, Mr. Speaker, which of course does not emit any carbon. Well, here in Nova Scotia, we get over half of ours from coal and natural gas. Mr. Speaker, it's bad enough they want to ban natural gas development, now they want to tax it too. I'd like to ask the Premier if he will confirm that copying the BC carbon tax is the wrong thing to do for Nova Scotia.
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I can ensure the Honourable Member, Mr. Speaker, I have not looked at the BC carbon tax. I have no idea how they apply, what it is applied to, Mr. Speaker. We're moving forward to governing the province of Nova Scotia and focused on moving this province forward.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition.
Well, Mr. Speaker, the Premier commissioned a $154,000 report to tell us that we should have a carbon tax like BC, even though it would raise our electricity prices from already being the highest in the province. Comparing us to BC in the country, thank you. Comparing us to BC is completely unrealistic. You know, Mr. Speaker, Australia has a carbon tax, and they have the exact same fuel mix for electricity as we do, and their prices went up 25%. Mr. Speaker, we'll just ask the Premier, will he confirm we will not have a carbon tax like BC, which drives up electricity prices here in Nova Scotia?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to tell the Honourable Member I have not looked at the carbon tax in BC, nor have I looked at what's happening in Australia. I can tell you what I have done, Mr. Speaker, is continue to support the Minister of Energy, Mr. Speaker, which will bring down energy prices in the province.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, my question for you is to the Premier. Mr. Speaker, now that we have seen the government's tax review, we know their roadmap is for increasing inequality. There's not a lot of fairness in the government's tax review. People earning $60,000 will pay more tax, and people earning $150,000 will pay less, Mr. Speaker. Now, can the Premier please explain why his government's tax review helps the wealthiest Nova Scotians at the expense of middle-income earners?
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I want to tell all members of this House that it's an independent report, Mr. Speaker. The author of the report talked to Nova Scotians. She put out what she heard, the thoughts that she had, Mr. Speaker. That report will be brought in, will be looked at, we'll analyze it, Mr. Speaker. But again, I want to remind the Honourable Member, it was her government that actually gave Cabinet Ministers a tax cut, Mr. Speaker, at the expense of four Nova Scotians.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party on her final supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I want to remind the Premier that as Finance Minister, I saw a lot of these proposals and rejected them, Mr. Speaker. So, Mr. Speaker, the Canadian Union of Public Employees say the government's tax review is a regressive plan. The Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives say the plan is eroding tax fairness. The government's tax plan to eliminate the income tax refund for low-income seniors and for first-time homeowners will make things much tougher for these people in our province. So why does the government's tax review chart a path to greater inequality for Nova Scotia?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. Again, I want to remind her it's an independent review. It's not the government's plan, Mr. Speaker. It was one that is an independent analysis. We'll look at it, Mr. Speaker, with all of the information that comes forward. But I want to remind all members of this House, and indeed all Nova Scotians, as the Honourable Member was a member of a cabinet, but we learned very quickly they didn't make any decisions, Mr. Speaker. They were made on the seventh floor by the unelected parliament. Yeah.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We learned today another version of the Liberal energy policy has been released, and I will table it as reported in the local paper. Grits pull back on rate relief for Nova Scotia Power customers. The Minister of Energy is now saying they're going to delay wind projects in order to try and save money. Mr. Speaker, the whole break the monopoly promise was based on the premise that there would be renewable suppliers, including wind, to compete with Nova Scotia Power. So I'd like to ask the Premier, is the monopoly on Nova Scotia Power broken, or is that another promise that is just blowing in the wind?
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yes, I want to tell the Honourable Member the monopoly of Nova Scotia Power is broken. I'm pleased to report. Please report. Municipal utilities across this province are looking for other power sources, not only inside but outside. They're looking for an opportunity to provide savings for their ratepayers and continue to provide competition. I also want to remind all members of this House that removed the efficiency tax off of power bills of January 1. We've created a separate efficiency Nova Scotia, which is in direct competition with the fuel mechanism, and we continue to drive down prices on the fuel side, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition.
Well, Mr. Speaker, of course, all Nova Scotians know that the monopoly of Nova Scotia Power is, in fact, still in place. They are now realizing that our efficiency tax is not being removed. It's being deferred to a future day with interest, Mr. Speaker. The minister now says he's going to save money by delaying wind projects, which are the very competitors that the government held up as there to compete against Nova Scotia Power, Mr. Speaker. So the Premier says this is all going to happen. I'll just ask him very simply, how many competitors have actually registered under the new Liberal policy to compete against Nova Scotia Power?
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, what's happening is we're seeing municipal utilities across this province looking to purchase power from other fuel sources, Mr. Speaker, looking to buy energy from other people, which in turn is good for those customers. We are seeing a setup where we've created a separate entity, which is driving competition on the fuel side. We see the Utility Review Board drive down those prices, Mr. Speaker, and we're very encouraged by the way communities across this province are looking at ways to generate their own energy, so, Mr. Speaker, so they don't have to purchase energy from Nova Scotia Power. They are looking after their own communities and their own community energy needs, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Member for Sackville-Cobequid.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for the Minister of Service, Nova Scotia and Municipal Affairs. Mr. Speaker, 2008 news release about fire service in our province, the member from Annapolis spoke about the need to, and I quote, support the work of our firefighters here in Nova Scotia who selfishly protect all of us, Mr. Speaker. And I'll table that, Mr. Speaker. I would agree with him, Mr. Speaker. These are people that literally run into burning buildings when everyone else is running out of them. So my question to the Minister for Service Nova Scotia Municipal Affairs, does he agree that emergency responders like firefighters deserve the provincial government's support?
The Honourable Minister of Service Nova Scotia.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I thank my colleague for the question. I, too, agree with his assessment of our firefighter service and the individuals that risk their lives on a regular basis. I had the good pleasure over many years to work side by side with our emergency first responders and can tell you there's nobody in this House that values their service more than I do.
The Honourable Member for Sackville-Cobequid.
I'll compete with the Minister on that one. I don't know about that one, Mr. Speaker. I'll challenge him on it, but I agree with him. According to the organization Volunteer Canada, 80% of Canadian firefighters are volunteers. In some rural areas of our province, for example, Mr. Speaker, 100% of those firefighters are volunteers. For many years now, the provincial government has been giving these hard-working men and women volunteers a tax rebate, a small token of appreciation for the work that they do. So my question through you, Mr. Speaker, to the Minister of Service, Nova Scotia and Municipal Affairs, given the important role of volunteer firefighters play in our province, why is this government entertaining eliminating their tax rebate?
The Honourable Minister of Service, Nova Scotia.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the question. As has been stated in this House before, the report submitted is simply an independent report with a number of recommendations. We'll consider all of the recommendations in the assessment over the next number of months.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you, Your Honour. My question is for the Minister of Finance. Page 35 of the Liberal tax plan contains recommendation 1.7, which calls for the elimination of the volunteer firefighter tax credit. We ask our volunteers to train, practice, and then risk their lives by running into burning buildings. This tax credit is just a small thank you, and now it is at risk of being taken away. So my question for the Minister is, will the Minister reassure our brave volunteer firefighters that she won't consider for one millisecond the elimination of one of the few ways that government expresses its appreciation for the work our volunteer firefighters
do. The Honourable Minister of Finance.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to answer that question today about the firefighters and the tax credit. As has already been said, all members of this House appreciate the work of all first responders and firefighters and the work that they do every day. That goes without saying. And it's nothing but really cheap shots to say otherwise. I would say that. Mr. Speaker, what we're doing here today. Well, Mr. Speaker, perhaps I'll wait for a second question.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Well, my question was, why would the Minister consider for 1 millisecond the elimination of the tax credit? So I will give her another chance to answer, because many of us do stand in this House to praise and recognize the outstanding work of our volunteer firefighters. And I certainly do that on a number of occasions. So my question, quite simply for the Minister, is the same. And hopefully we can get an answer this time. Why would the Minister tell this House that she will not consider taking away the volunteer firefighter tax credit? It's the only way to encourage volunteer firefighters to join and stay committed.
The Honourable Minister of Finance.
Thank you so much, Mr. Speaker. And I think the context is very important of this report. All members of the House knew that a campaign commitment was made to ask for a tax review on all of our taxes, fees, and regulations. That was a commitment made and a commitment kept. It's been done at an arm's length. It's been done with the consultation of many, many people. And now we have the responsibility to look at it. And I would hope that you would also look at it in its entirety. It's not intended to be discussed in one little piece at a time or taken out of context. Mr. Speaker, that's the story.
The Honourable Member for Chester St. Margaret's.
Mr. Speaker, for the last year, the Minister of Economic Development has sat on his hands as nearly 10,000 jobs have vanished. And that saga continued this week. Yesterday, the government received a tax report that lacked even basic language on jobs and the economy. The government's new tax report refused to talk about what effect the new tax package would have on our economy, or if the government's new tax system will even create one single job. Mr. Speaker, my question to the Minister of Economic Development: how could the minister allow this government to commission a tax report that is completely silent on economic impacts and job creation?
The Honourable Minister of Economic and Rural Development.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to refer the member to Valerie Payne of the Halifax Chamber of Commerce to answer that question for her.
The Honourable Member for Chester St. Margaret's.
Mr. Speaker, if the minister thinks taxing low and middle income earners is funny, or to give to the rich a tax break will create jobs, he's did wrong. The minister might not believe it, but it's the workers in our province who make our economy strong. So my question, can the minister explain how taxing books, diapers, and children's shoes will help workers in Nova Scotia who make less than $150,000 a year?
The Honourable Minister of Economic and Rural Development.
You know, Mr. Speaker, what we learned the hard way of what doesn't work is a cabinet that sits there with a checkbook and writes checks to winners and losers into hundreds of millions of dollars with no accountability, which did not create jobs but certainly increased the debt of this province. Mr. Speaker, we learned and we have listened to the business community that have asked us to work with them to create the winning conditions. We have made significant reforms to the way that we do economic development in this province. One of the concerns we have heard is taxation as well. We have received a report that provides a myriad of different suggestions relating to that. Mr. Speaker, we will continue to work very closely with not only the business community but with all Nova Scotians to move this province forward.
The Honourable House Leader for the Official Opposition.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. The government's tax and regulatory review recommends on page 87 that government take advantage of new information technology, noting that e-government and regulatory reform are a natural fit. The report finds that technology is an essential tool in engaging and motivating citizens in many processes that enable regulatory reform. While successful examples exist where citizens can access these services, it may not be a normal fit for many Nova Scotians whose existing internet service may not be capable of accessing basic web pages, let alone participating in forums of e-government services. So my question to the Minister of Economic Development is, since this broadband service was partially supported by government, what actions can the department take to bring these residents into the current century and be able to participate in forums of this recommended e-government?
The Honourable Minister of Economic and Rural development.
Speaker, as I've stated numerous times in this House, the Rural Broadband Initiative started in 2006, was implemented in 2007. It has gone through successive governments. As I indicated, the intention was to have 100% connectivity. That has proven to be a challenge due to some of the geographical aspects of our province. We continue to work closely not only with Eastlink for some of the areas that are not receiving the level of service that they should, but as well we continue to await some of the details from our federal counterparts who have announced that there will be funding coming for better broadband service throughout the country.
The Honourable House Leader for the Official Opposition.
Well, I thank the Minister for that answer. We know that not so long ago we introduced a petition in this House of Assembly where 800 names of people who were very unhappy with the Eastlink service in southwestern Nova Scotia. And these are the kind of Nova Scotians that would not be able to directly access e-government services that are supposedly, according to the report, significantly improve access to reliable information to alleviate a significant burden on businesses through better internal information sharing. Since it would be... It would be in the government, the Nova Scotia government, not the federal government, to implement these types of changes to allow greater access. What will the minister do so that all Nova Scotians and provincial business could access e-government services that the report calls an essential tool in engaging citizens?
The Honourable Minister of Economic and Rural Development.
Speaker, our department continues to work with some of the CAP sites that are located throughout the province that Nova Scotians can access to receive a service. I believe the member is aware of that. But at the same time, I have acknowledged the fact that there are still way too many Nova Scotians who do not have access to high-speed internet, or those who have access are certainly not getting the speed that one would deem to be high speed. It's a problem that has existed for quite some time. As I mentioned, the initiative started in 2006, so it's certainly not something that started in October of 2013. I have worked with the providers in question to try to find solutions and remain hopeful that we are going to be able to find a long-term solution to this very problem.
The Honourable Member for Sydney River, Myra Lewisburg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And Mr. Speaker, my question through you will be to the Minister of Finance. Yesterday's Liberals' tax plan calls for a carbon tax, a tax that kills jobs and raises power. That news will strike fear into those who want to see Duncan Mine and open and those who hope to work at the mine. My question to the Minister is, will the Minister allow the job-killing carbon tax to jeopardize the development of the many jobs at the Duncan Mine?
The Honourable Minister of Finance.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And I'd like to just refer again to the fact that this is a report that was done and commissioned as a commitment during the last election that we would look at all taxes throughout. We are going to give it some consideration for everything that's in it, but I want to assure the member opposite, you will be invited to the opening of the Duncan Mine.
The Honourable Member for Sydney River, Myra Lewisburg.
Well, I want to thank you now for that invitation. Mr. Speaker, the Ivany Report points out that the Nova Scotia has untapped potential for resource development, and some of those who are in the House have heard me sing this song a long time. The tax review seeks to kill resource jobs with a carbon tax. My question to the Minister is, which report will the Minister of Finance listen to? The Ivory Report to use our resource development, or the Broughton Report, or the Rotan Report that includes a job-killing carbon tax?
The Honourable Minister of Finance.
Mr. Speaker, it's amazing to me how really complex issues can be boiled down into such just, you know, trite questions. I'm really surprised. And I think it's parliamentary. I do. Mr. Speaker, there are a host of recommendations in this report. They are interrelated, they are complex, and they require some consideration. It's been 24 hours since we've seen this report. And Mr. Speaker, the report we have before us took into account, and I know it took into account, the Ivany Report and the recommendations there. And this government has nothing more than a commitment to see the province succeed and improve. And that's where we'll stand.
The Honourable Member for Truro, Bible Hill, Millbrook, Salmon River.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question today is for the Minister of Communities, Culture and Heritage. The Liberal platform made a promise to Nova Scotian artists, and the platform reads, and I quote, "A Liberal government will strengthen arts and culture and continue to support our thriving cultural industries by implementing a sound recording tax credit in the first year." I will table that. However, the first year has come and gone, and the Liberal government's recent tax review makes no mention of this plan for the music industry. Can the minister explain why he has moved away from keeping this election promise to implement a sound recording tax credit?
The Honourable Minister of Communities, Culture and Heritage.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I will punt that to my honourable member, the Minister of ERDT. Thank you.
The Honourable Minister of Economic and Rural Development.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The member would be aware that we just recently announced the extension of the film and digital tax credit, which we have received accolades from throughout the industry for having done that. What I can tell the member is that we continue to consult with the industry as to what exactly the sound digital recording tax credit should look like. We want to ensure that it is a reflection of what will best serve the industry, and I think it's a perfect example of where government is actually listening to those who would be impacted by this prior to implementing that credit.
The Honourable Member for Truro, Bible Hill, Millbrook, Salmon River.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker, and all I can say to that is I look forward to seeing what they actually do as opposed to just making promises. Mr. Speaker, the Liberal platform also states that their promises to the arts and culture community are designed to strengthen Nova Scotia's heart and soul. I would like to remind all Nova Scotians that it was our NDP government that brought back the Arts Council, as we promised, approved the new Black Loyalist Heritage Centre, and improved the film and television tax credits, which are now improving our creative economy. So can the Minister of Communities, Culture and Heritage please explain why taxing books is strengthening Nova Scotia's heart and soul?
The Honourable Minister of Communities, Culture and Heritage.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you for that question. I will say to you that our government has put forward a tax review. We have explained to you what the tax review and its recommendations are for Nova Scotians. We will address all those issues for you. Thank you.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. My question to you is to the Minister of Finance. Mr. Speaker, it's only 24 hours ago approximately that we had the release of the tax review, and the government already appears to be distancing themselves from some aspects of this report, if not the entire report, Mr. Speaker. Although the report...
25 hours.
Mr. Speaker, this report was commissioned at a cost of $150,000 to the taxpayers of the province. It was led by a former Liberal Party cabinet minister from the province of Ontario. And now the government are talking about how independent this report is. I note that, and I'll table a letter that indicates from Ms. Bolton at the front of the report, the assistance that she had from staff in the Department of Finance. Mr. Speaker, my question to the minister is this. Would she please outline what assistance her staff provided in preparing the tax review that Ms. Bolton refers to in her report?
The Honourable Minister of Finance.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and that is a good question. I'd be happy to discuss that here in the House in this question period. Mr. Speaker, it's well known that we engaged a lead for the tax review. That person is Laurel Broughton, and she came by herself without an entourage of other consultants. It would have cost a lot more than the current price had she had others. Not to mention, Mr. Speaker, that to do things like tax modelling is a very difficult thing. Very few people can do it, and really only people in the Department of Finance would have that capacity. And they did help with the modelling and the implications of what would happen in various scenarios. So that they helped in the analysis.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party.
So thank you very much, and I thank the minister for the question because, Mr. Speaker, for the answer. It's obvious, Mr. Speaker, that staff in the department were intimately involved in the preparation of this report. So, Mr. Speaker, my question to the minister is simple. how can you possibly say that this is an independent tax review when staff in the Department of Finance were intimately involved in its preparation?
The Honourable Minister of Finance.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I know that the members opposite understand the difference between the politics that goes on here and partisanship and the professionalism of the public service. That's important. Mr. Speaker, what I can say as well is that throughout the work that was done, I did not meet with Laurel Broughton at all, that she did her work with the staff so that they could support her work, and that she also consulted widely with people across the province and even beyond. Thank you.
The Honourable House Leader for the Official Opposition.
Thank you very much. As much as I'd like to go on the tax review, I am not. I want to go to a health question. On October 14th, I asked the Minister of Health to provide a timeline for his department's review of oral cancer medications that individuals take at home. He indicated that he would know more following a meeting with the other maritime provinces that was to take place at the end of October. So my question is, can the minister provide an update on how that meeting went and whether his department has decided to proceed with funding at-home cancer drugs?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. What I can inform the Honourable Member is that our department is taking a look at the provinces that have provided funding. We will get back to meet with CanCertainty. And our oncologists and support people that assist those Nova Scotians who are able to use cancer oral treatment and how the funding process takes place. And we have made a commitment to early in the new year to bring those people together.
The Honourable House Leader for the Official Opposition.
So basically what the Minister is saying that they're developing a cost analysis based on the latest figures associated with at-home cancer care. We know that this would be incredibly beneficial for those Nova Scotians whose situation could allow them to remain in their homes. And we know the stress on cancer patients when they do have to travel back and forth for their treatment. So if they could stay at home, this would be a tremendous opportunity for them. When will the cost analysis be complete? And if it is, will the minister table it here in the House or give us a call later to make sure that we have that information?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And in fact, it was just yesterday that I met with a patient who has had to rely on oral cancer treatment. And we went through that process that he had to move through in order to get that treatment paid for. So it is a very, very trying experience for many Nova Scotians. It's one that we are working to address as much as possible, and we will have that timeline and that cost available for all Nova Scotians to see early in the new year.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you, Your Honour. My question is for the Minister of Community Services. The Minister knows my concerns about the cost of cancelling or changing Phase 3 at the Riverview Home and how those change fees are monies diverted away from care. And I think that we could be talking about upwards of $1 million in change fees and penalties at issue here. The Minister said last week, I know that in this process of stopping the construction and redesigning what happens, there were additional costs. So my question today is, can the Minister tell us the amount of these costs that will be diverted from care and paid out in fees as a result of this change in course? If she doesn't have the number at hand, maybe she could agree to provide the number to me within the month.
The Honourable Minister of Community Services.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I thank the member, and I really want to commend him for his relentless advocacy on this issue. I know it's important to you, and one of these days you and I will sit down, perhaps over dinner, a little wine, and I will explain to you the right side of the issue and why you should come over and talk about transformation and why it's a good thing. Actually, the cost if Phase 3 had gone on would have been $31.1 million. In winding up the cost of Phase 1 and Phase 2, it's 26.9, so there's actually been a savings of 4.1 from the whole project altogether.
I'd just like to remind the Honourable Minister to direct her comments through the Chair. And if she's going to invite anybody for dinner and wine,
I'll go.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you, Your Honour. I think the Minister is implying that I do a lot of whining. But I think the Minister knows that by not completing the construction, the money that's not spent is not a savings because you don't have the facility that you would have. But the government will move forward with its own new plan at Riverview, and it's becoming apparent that no matter what I or the community say, the government is going on its own way on this one. But today I just want to remind the Minister that people have waited over a year for those new 32 beds, and oftentimes this wait is in a hospital bed. And the cost of a night in a non-acute hospital bed is greater than $500 per night. So if money is not used at the Riverview facility to meet its needs, it should be used ASAP to create other homes within our community. Action for this vulnerable population is needed now. So my question to the Minister is, can she provide some clarification on how and when residents of our area can expect this reinvestment?
The Honourable Minister of Community Services.
Thank you. I just want to reiterate that it is not just this government's commitment, but it was the previous government's commitment. More importantly, it was actually the people from the community who came together and said, we want person-directed choice and inclusion for people who are living with disabilities. So we will work with the Board of Directors at Riverview, and we will not just make beds. I'm not interested in increasing beds, and I've said there will be no bed increase under my government, but we're interested in making homes for folks that they choose to live in and that they can stay in their communities. Thank you.
The Honourable House Leader for the New Democratic Party.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the on-again, off-again affair between the Liberals and changing the HST and electricity began a new chapter yesterday, Mr. Speaker, with the release of the Liberal government's tax review. As they say, Mr. Speaker, like sands to the hourglass, these are the days of our lives, Mr. Speaker. So let me take you back, Mr. Speaker. When last we met, in 2008, we saw the first state when the Liberals voted to put the HST back on energy. Now, in 2009, Nova Scotians were shocked and appalled. They were glued to their TV sets for the marriage as the Premier vowed that removing the HST and electricity was bad, bad public policy, Mr. Speaker. Then, lo and behold, in 2013,
the breakup,
Mr. Speaker. Oh, but Mr. Speaker, love springs eternal, Mr. Speaker. So in 2013, the breakup. The Premier reading a resolution in this very House calling on HST to remain off energy for all eternity, Mr. Speaker. So, Mr. Speaker, I want to ask the Minister through you, were yesterday's public overtures about putting off the HST back on energy just a tease, or in the spring, will romance be back in the air?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, me and the Honourable Member in a romance. I'm not sure that anyone would ever predicted that, Mr. Speaker. But, Mr. Speaker, Mr. Speaker, after listening to the Honourable Member, I now know what he did with his time for the last 4 years.
The Honourable House Leader for the New Democratic Party.
left at the altar again, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, this... mine will come with crayons, Mr. Speaker. To put it bluntly, though, Mr. Speaker, it's unfair that the Liberal government is talking about burdening low-income Nova Scotians with a tax grab on their electricity bills while giving the CEO of Emera a tax break. So I want to ask the Premier again, why would his Liberal government release a report that calls for giving Nova Scotians' top earners a tax break while taking money out of the pockets of hard-working families?
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Liberal government didn't release a report that suggested that, Mr. Speaker. There was an independent report done by someone that was commissioned by the province. They've gone out, spoke to Nova Scotians. They put the report out. We told the Honourable Member we would look at it, we'd analyze it. Mr. Speaker, we'll continue to move forward, Mr. Speaker. And equally as important, Mr. Speaker, we'll continue to do the hard work to ensure that energy prices in this province are affordable for all Nova Scotians.
The Honourable Member for Kings North.
Mr. Speaker, my question is for the Minister of Economic Development and Tourism. Business parks are the number one issue raised to me by the Annapolis Valley Chamber of Commerce after becoming elected. The lack of shovel-ready land is restricting new industrial development in Kings County. Does the Economic Development Minister have any plans to assist in the strategy for developing future parks in Kings County for industrial use?
The Honourable Minister of Economic and Rural Development.
Speaker, I want to thank the member for the question. The parks that we have throughout the province are managed by NSBI on behalf of the province of Nova Scotia. There has been some concerns that have been raised in various ones. We are working with our stakeholders there and trying to review how best to have these parks and how the future of these should look. So I will certainly get back to the member as to any specific concerns he has regarding the park that he has raised.
The Honourable Member for Kings North.
I'd like to thank the Minister for that answer. Mr. Speaker, recently the Valley Regional Economic Network, the RIN, hired its first Executive Director, Kelly Ells. Can the Minister update this House on what assistance his department will provide the RIN in the coming year, and will he commit to meet with the Valley RIN and Kelly Ells at his earliest convenience?
The Honourable Minister of Economic and Rural Development.
Mr. Speaker, there was a funding envelope that was provided to the Regional Enterprise Network, which we provide to all of them to help them with the startup costs. The member will recall that the federal Conservative government had abandoned the regional development authorities with their funding, which led to the creation of these regional enterprise networks. So, Speaker, we have certainly learned from some of the failings with the RDA model, which has brought in much stronger accountability, which is not only good for all the business people that will be involved with this, but it's accountability for the people of Nova Scotia. I would be certainly more than happy to meet with the Executive Director and all members of that Regional Enterprise Network. More importantly, I want to commend the municipalities of the Valley for working together in cooperation for creating this Regional Enterprise Network.
The Honourable Member for Queens, Shelburne.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. My question is for the Minister of Transportation, but, Mr. Speaker, the question should be to the Minister of Natural Resources.
Order, please. Time allotted for oral questions by members. The Minister's has expired. The Honourable Government House Leader.
Mr. Speaker, as a result of the new rule changes that we brought in with the tabling of resolutions of a congratulatory nature, it was always the intent that at the end of the session that we would pass a motion that would deem that all the congratulatory resolutions be deemed to have received unanimous support of all members of the House, which members can indicate when they are sending out these resolutions. So I would ask the unanimous consent of the House that all resolutions that have been tabled with the clerks, including today's resolutions, which will be added to answer tomorrow, that are of a congratulatory nature, be deemed to have received the unanimous support of all members of the House.
Is it agreed?
Agreed.
It is agreed. The Honourable Government House Leader.
What else can I ask for?